case you missed the hype, this Sunday, Germany and Argentina square off in the World Cup final. Hundreds of millions of people around the world are expected to watch that match. But the game that we know today wasn't always so. The sport everybody except Americans calls football used to be chaotic, even dangerous. University of Washington professor Joe Janes does a podcast called Documents That Changed the World. His latest episode is all about the original laws of the game of football, which dates back to the rules date back to 1863. Hi, Joe. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Football. Or soccer. How shall we refer to it?
Let's call it soccer.
Okay.
So I'm confused.
Soccer's been around for quite a long time. Where and when did it originate?
Well, it appears that something like this is ancient and arises in almost every civilization. The idea of something round, like a gourd or a pebble or something, and trying to get that to a particular place with your body is everywhere. Versions in China, versions in otherwise in Asia, very important to the creation myths of the Mayans. So it appears to be something we just do. We just kick balls and try to get them places, and that has evolved into what we think of today as a game or a sport.
So in 1863, these rules were developed. About that time, was what we now call soccer something else?
The origins of what we call soccer today appear to be Celtic in extreme Western Europe and made their way down largely into what's today the United Kingdom. Several hundred years ago, a very different game. Large mobs of people in the streets using houses as goals. People were killed. There were a number of royal decrees outlawing it. Shakespeare uses football player as an insult. It was dangerous. People died. And,
wow.
Yeah. And it slowly over the centuries evolved into something a little more civilized and landed in the English public schools.
And is that when the official rules began to develop?
Well, then all the different schools had their own versions. So in the late 18th, early 19th centuries, they all have their own rules. And because they're all separate and they just play teams from within the school, and it's only when they want to start to play each other in a competitive way that the differences between these rules start to emerge. And if you can't agree on the rules, you can't play the game.
But that makes sense. So when whoever it was sat down to hash out potential rules, what were sort of the major points of discussion or contention?
There are things that we think of as absolutely fundamental to sort of any sport, like how big is the field and how big is the ball and
yeah.
how big is the goal and how many men on a side and what do they wear, and really, really fundamental dimensions and sort of structure of the game. It gets into finer and finer points as they go. Two of the major things that were under contention, because there were so many different versions at this point, is whether or not you could use your hands. So mm-hmm. could you catch it or not? And there were people who were absolutely convinced that if you couldn't catch it, it wasn't a proper sport. And there was one school in particular that said, we're not going to go along with the rest of you because we want to catch the ball and run with it. And that school was called rugby. And hence we have rugby today.
I thought you were going to tell me that those were the people who migrated to North America and founded American football.
Well, it made its way to football that way. The other big American football that way. The other big bone of contention was what they called hacking, which we today would call kicking people in the shins. And that's a foul today. It's frowned on. It happens if you watch the games on Saturday and Sunday. There's going to be a lot of that sort of thing. But they often get called for it. And that was a part of the game. And there were people who were furious about the fact that hacking was not going to be allowed. Well, that's not a game, and I can bring Frenchmen in and they'll beat you. And that was an insult. Hmm. And on and on and on it goes. So they had to come to terms. They had to compromise on all these various flavors and forms of the game to come up with something they could all agree on.
I'm speaking with University of Washington Professor Joe Janes about the laws of the game being soccer. Those laws were published in 1863. It's the subject of his podcast, Documents That Changed the World. And Joe, you write that codified rules in sports in general actually increase creativity. What does that mean?
Yeah, that was one of the things that I was a little bit surprised by. We think of rules as providing structure, that this is how big the field is, and this is the shape of the ball, and this is how high the net is in tennis, and here's what a touch is in fencing, and all those kinds of things. But it also, when you have any sort of constraint, any sort of limitation, and you're trying to gain competitive advantage over someone else, you have to work harder to go right up against the rule but not outside it. And that produces creativity. So in American football, when there's 7 seconds on the clock and you've got 40 yards to drive or 70 yards to drive or 80 yards to drive, everybody in the stadium knows it's going to be a Hail Mary pass because that's the only choice you have. Or the 17 lateral backward passes that never works. Right. So everybody knows what's going to happen. And that pass probably doesn't exist unless you're running up against time.
Interesting. We're talking about soccer here. What surprised you the most when you were digging into this history?
Well, I didn't fully appreciate how far back all this went. The 1863 rules were part of a chunk of time, largely Victorian England, who else, where a lot of sports got formed. And the English had formed rules for things like horse racing and cricket and rowing prior to and boxing prior to that. And then tennis and baseball were formed at roughly the same time. That one was ours. I didn't fully appreciate how ancient this was. And I also didn't fully think through or had not as a lifelong sports fan that the game is the rules and the rules are the game. And you know, you've had that experience when you're playing cards around the table and somebody has a different idea of how gin rummy is played. Well, you got to figure that out. Or you watch a Canadian football game and there's that line in the middle at the 55. Like, what's up with that? And so these tiny variations that actually make profound differences, that's the game. And that's why Canadian football is different from ours and soccer is different from rugby and all the rest of it.
Your podcast is called Documents That Change the World. So I got to know, how did writing down the official rules of soccer change the world?
Well, part of the reason I did this episode is just as a sports fan, I just was kind of curious. And I was trying to find a sports thing that had a substantial impact. Soccer is almost universally agreed to be the most popular game in the world, with the exception of the United States. A large fraction of the human population will be watching the games this weekend. The third place game between Brazil and the Netherlands, which should be a hoot because nobody wants to be there. Mm. And I wager the score is going to be like 10-8 or something crazy number like that. And FIFA, this giant, bloated, horrible bureaucracy, occupies a pretty large place in people's minds. So it's an important game, and this weekend will be fun to watch.
Joe Janes is an assistant professor at the Information School at the University of Washington. His podcast is called Documents That Change the World. Joe, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
It's The Record. I'm Marcy Silman.